It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this April 27th, a gorgeous day downtown St. Petersburg, across from Tropicana Field. I'm Mike Rickard, joined by baseball Ben Botham, and of course, the Iowa Sports, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I was just reading my Iowa Sports Connection because it's Drake Relays weekend. So anyway, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, of course, can be heard each and every Saturday right here on 106.1 FM, AM 1340, in our network, and of course, RadioSt.Pete.com and our streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor Coca-Cola and Sea Dogs Brewery. Had a nice dinner there last night down on the Intercoastal. And of course, Ferg's, with over 104 televisions, will be the place to be today. If you want to watch your MLB, you want to watch those struggling Rays and White Sox, you got NBA action, NHL, and the last portion of the draft this morning. A lot going on down at Ferg's. And tonight, we got a great concert. We got Pirate Flag, and that is a from 5 until 11 tonight, and that's down here at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. Looking forward to that as well. And this Saturday, we're going to we got a great show. We got people coming down. We already got a celebrity in the house, and Leo Fernandez with the Tampa Bay Rowdies, kind enough to come down. We'll talk to him and Jim Harden, our Body Armor Coca-Cola, of course, Tampa Bay Rowdies segment. They got fireworks down there tonight. They play in New Mexico, and it'll be an electric environment. I'm telling you what, if you're still thinking about going, it's not going to be one of those games you can just walk up. I think it's going to be a sellout, so get your Rowdies tickets this morning before they go, fill up. And then, of course, we're going to talk to, got a little Lightning. It's a tough challenge. They're down 3-0 to Lightning, and we'll have Wyatt Ross talk about that. Joe Geiger, you were at the game the other night, a little dismal. What was the issue in your perspective?
Well, we've been getting off to slow starts in all these games. And we once again got off that. The Panthers struck first. We thought we had one back. It ended up being disallowed on an offside. And then late in the first period, you know, we hit the post. So a couple unfortunate breaks for us. But the second period, we came out really strong. Probably the best we played all series for a 10-minute stretch. We were hitting hard. Amalie Arena was rocking. We took our first lead of the series 2-1, and then the Panthers come down the ice, score on one shot, tie the game back up. Then we end up trailing in that period. So it was just a quick turnaround. I think once the Panthers tied the game, it took the momentum right back out of the building, out of the team, and they kind of cruised back to another victory. And we're just struggling to play a full game of hockey.
Well, it's going to be an uphill battle. But it'd be nice if they got one more win here, go down to Florida, and they get to come back up here. Ben Botham, how was your week as a coach and a teacher at Seminole?
It was a good week, you know. We played IMG this week with Seminole baseball. We did all right. We're playing IMG Black. We had a great 3-run home run by J.J. Basinger. He's really becoming one of the best players on our team. He's just a junior. Next year, it's going to be really great to see what he does as a senior. So we're all really excited for that. But we start districts on Monday. Monday's the big district playoffs, and hopefully we go far. Seminole will be playing St. Pete to start it off, and I'm excited, Mike.
Well, we'll be talking a little bit about that. We've got the Hollins Royals in the house, our second hour. Brad Richardson, Bob Putnam from Primetime Preps, of course, our marriage between the two companies, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and Primetime Preps. That's going to be a superb addition to high school sports in 24-25. Looking forward to that as well. We also, at the end of the show, Ben, I know you've been waiting for this. Nick, on the 9th, we've got Universal Wrestling down here. Pro wrestling. And they're going to be here. We're going to have Johnny Walker here in person at 12:30. We're going to talk about wrestling. We got the 9th, we got wrestling all back. And then on the 15th, we've got micro wrestling again.
All right.
The little guys.
We going to get you in the ring, Mike?
Well, people have called me a midget before, but in today's world, you got to be careful on that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I talk to them personally, because I have several times, they don't care if I call them a midget.
Yeah.
I said, what's the deal with micro? Politically correct. So we got a lot of action going down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Of course, it's our entertainment center now. As I mentioned, a concert tonight, and then always something going on all weekend long. Ben, anything in the world of baseball? You and I are going to have about 15 minutes after our conversation with Leo and Jim Hart.
Well, I mean, we got some positive news on the Rays front, even after even after a 9-4 loss against the White Sox. Josh Lowe is set to return today, actually. So I'm hoping maybe that sparks a little fire in the Rays offense and kind of gets them up and going again.
Here's what the doomsdayers, you know, are forgetting. Last year, a record-setting start, very rare to ever happen in baseball, broke records. Mm-hmm. That same kind of streak can happen at any time during baseball.
Sure.
Look at it right now. You know, you could call them the hapless Houston Astros. Well, nobody's really in the panic mode. That they've still got their nucleus, yep. And we have a lot of parts that have been on this club a couple of years. Have seen it all. The arms will start getting healthier. So, you know, at this stage of the game, just coming up on the 1st of May, you don't give up on the season.
No, I think it's better that we came out the way that we have been. We're seeing our faults and we're seeing our strengths. And I think it's better than us starting like we did last year and us falling into a June swoon and, you know, kind of falling off the map there. I'd rather us have a slower start and then finish hard through the end of the season.
And look at this East. I mean, it's loaded. And people are looking at, geez, you're in last place. Well, in several of the divisions, you'd be in second, second or definitely third. So, you know, that's a barometer too. But to lose to the hapless Chicago White Sox last night, who had a total of 3 wins under their belt, that was hard to stomach.
Yeah, 4-22 team or 3-22 at the time. Now 4-22 team. It's not a team you want to be dropping games to. I know we're tied right now for last place with the Toronto Blue Jays. The two teams I hate.
The two teams that you placed bets
to win the World Series, and they're both in last place. Of course, Baltimore is at the top of it. It's hard for them not to be with their lineup that they have. They're a quality team from start to finish.
I see that the Orioles just sent down, what's his name?
Jackson Holliday.
Jackson Holliday.
Well, he's batting like 56.
I know.
He's really struggling. But yeah. So, I mean, I understand that move.
Well, I understand it now, but I thought he was supposed to be this phenom that was going to come and take the win.
Well, you got to get adjusted to major league pitching. It's a lot different than...
Well, there's no doubt about that, and I wondered what they were doing in the management, in the front office, making that decision. Speaking of front offices, he's kind of the front office guy of the world of soccer, and he is Jim Hart. I call him the godfather of soccer. And I'll tell you what, you really pulled it off bringing this young man down here, Leo Fernandez. I'm ecstatic. He's sitting in front of us, kind enough to take some time. You know, he's got a wife and 2 kids. I'm just going to throw this out there. Did you need maybe a little Leo time?
Wife that. Don't tell the wife that, but I definitely did.
Well, we won't tell her she can hear this.
Yeah.
Well, we record it and you can play it back. Anyway, I want to thank you very, very much for coming down. It's an honor to have you here. We love having athletes in person. It's tough to do, especially this time of year. But you're in your rehab process.
Yeah.
So we get a little of your time.
Yeah, you know, trying to make the best out of it. Trying to do as many things as I can and not really think about being on the field. And just spending time like this, talking to you and some of the other fans, it's been great.
Yeah, talk a little soccer. And, of course, Jim Hart, thanks very much for lining this up. How are you this morning, my friend?
Doing great. And welcome, Leo, to the show. And, Leo, I just want to tell you something. Right before the studio called, I was on the phone with Phil Collins over in England, and he asked to please send his warmest greetings along to you and all the rest of the guys. So he thinks very highly of you.
Thank you.
How about Jim Hart? What a power broker. He's a name dropper, too. Yeah, I just got off the phone and talking to England and Neil Collins. Anybody else? Have you talked to Messi lately?
No, but I was on the phone with Mike Rickard the other day,
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Anyway, let's continue. Why don't you give us your bio a little? You told me you were born in Brazil, grew up in New York, went to Stony Creek University. And how long you've been playing soccer? Just a little bio for our audience out there.
Yeah, like you said, born in Brazil, moved to New York when I was 6 years old. Grew up playing the
part of New York?
Queens, New York.
You're definitely a New Yorker.
No, Queens, New York, and then I went to high school in Long Island. So,
got definitely a New Yorker.
Yeah, and then I went to school in Stony Brook University, so stayed in New York.
Yeah.
But played in all the local leagues, academy, high school soccer. Got a taste of what it's really like to play in the U.S. system. And then after Stony Brook University, got drafted to the Philadelphia Union, played 4 years over there. And then after my fourth year there, I got a call from Lee Cohen saying that they wanted to sign me here in Tampa Bay. And it was a decision that I have never regretted once.
Well, let's talk about your time in Philly. You know, there's all these, I've observed them, all these observations about their fan base, whether it's the Phillies, the Eagles, the 76ers. What were the fans like in the world of soccer?
Look, for me, I loved them. The Philly fans were great. They're super intense.
That's a Philadelphia thing, isn't it?
And I think as a sports, as a player, professional player, you just want the fans to be engaged and just making the atmosphere unbelievable. And they did that every single year I was there. And they do that for every sport. So I think just playing there, I got to meet a lot of fans when I was warming up. They're very personable, and it was a great time.
How about the climate? Wasn't it a tough decision to make it to come down here, was it?
No, definitely not. You know, I told my wife to this day, like, we were very nervous on moving down just because we grew up in the Northeast, and weren't sure how we were going to like it, but we fell in love with St. Pete, and we don't see us leaving anytime soon.
As a young boy, did you play all sports, or were you just completely focused on soccer?
So, growing up in New York, I had no other choice but to learn how to play other sports. Going to the parks, we played basketball, baseball, football. So, for me, I grew up playing all the sports, but I never played any other organized sports. That was only soccer. It's something I wish I did, but for me, when my sons get older, I'm going to let them play whatever they want.
Yeah, I think giving them an opportunity to have some balance, and because you are a soccer player, of course there'll be emphasis there. But the bottom line is, might become a point guard. You know,
exactly,
not a Brazilian very good basketball players out there.
They had a couple in the league back then.
Oh yeah.
But for sure. I think he loves basketball now. We're watching the NBA playoffs. He enjoys it. He's a pretty tall for his age, so you never know.
You never know. Yeah. How old are your children?
Six and two.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to Jim Hart, who's apparently his dog's barking at him because he isn't getting any airtime.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
Hey, Jim, I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, thanks. Hey, Leo, I wanted to ask you specifically about the exciting new development of your change of number from 11 to 10. So, Mike, I don't know if you know Mike, but generally the best player wears number 10. Not always the case, but many times it is. It's Messi, Pele. So, Leo, tell us about that story of you changing numbers.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's pretty simple. My son started to watch soccer now, and Messi just came into the United States. So we were watching a lot of Inter-Miami games, and he's asking me why I wasn't wearing number 10 since Messi wears it. And I told him I wear number 11. I like number 11. I've been wearing it since I got to Tampa. And he basically just convinced me to switch. So it wasn't a really big deal. But, I switched this year. It just means I have to buy a lot more jersey for my families.
You know, you're going to be my grandson's favorite when he comes down here with that number, because he's a Messi. He's 6 years old, and he's a Messi junkie.
Yeah,
and he just scored his first goal last week.
Love that.
And so I had to get him another Messi jersey. I told him first goal, he gets another Messi jersey. So the 6 year that generation, it's all about Messi.
Exactly.
Apparently.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah,
and Fernandez.
Yeah, I can't forget Fernandez. But No, he came in last year and he was unbelievable. So I think for my kids just to get inspired and watch greatness, it's all you can ask for.
That's awesome. So Mike, I don't know if you know this or not, but Leo is the longest serving Rowdies player ever. Is that right, Leo?
Yeah, that's right. I've been here a long time.
So how many games have you played? And tell us what it feels like to have that distinction of being the Rowdies player that's played the most games of anybody.
So it feels good. Got a lot of experience, obviously. A lot of the new guys come in and they see me as a leader and they look up to me. So I just try to play my part. It just means I've been here a long time and played a lot of games and I'm getting old.
So, you know, we've had Christian Ortiz a couple of times on the show, and he has spoken specifically, name-checked you, Leo, as somebody that's been very welcoming to him and positive about his inclusion as a 16-year-old. Mike asked him the question, how are the older guys treating you? And he came right out and said it was great and called out your name. Tell us a little bit about Christian.
Yeah, I mean, Christian's a great kid. When he came in, the first thing I try to do is really just put him under my wing. 16 years old in the men's locker room, it can be tough. But he's shown a lot of maturity. He wants to learn. He's getting there early every day, putting in the work. And I told him that if you keep putting in the work each and every day, it's gonna build up, and then you're gonna see yourself in a great position. And that's all you can do when you're 16 years old. Is just try to have a good attitude. You're not going to play every game, but try to develop and learn as much as you can.
That's right. So Leo, did you have any mentors when you were young and up in Philadelphia at joining the MLS?
Yeah, so I would say in my first 2 years in Philly, we had a very young team. A couple guys here and there where they try to show me the ropes, but it wasn't until I got loaned out to the New York Cosmos where I got real mentors, big time players that played in for Real Madrid. Raul Gonzalez, he was an unbelievable player. Marco Senna. So those guys are the real pros that taught me how to become a professional, the ins and outs and how to carry yourself. So for me, I was very lucky to share in the locker room with those guys.
You're listening to the Tampa Bay Sports Connection. It's our Tampa Bay Rowdies and Coca-Cola Beverages Body Armor Rowdy segment. We're blessed to have Leo Fernandez down here. And how old were you when you went pro?
20.
You were 20.
20 years old.
You were an old man compared to Christian, weren't you?
Of course. I told him he's got 4 years ahead of me, so just enjoy it.
Man, when you were in the locker room, was it menacing at 20 initially?
Yeah, I think so. I think when it's your first pro environment, it's a lot different than college or high school. It's a job now, and it's cutthroat. People want to, you know, their spots. They need to make their money. They need to hit their goal bonuses. So it's a lot different than anything that he's seen so far. It was a lot different than anything I've seen at the time.
To our audience that and I'm one of them that aren't privy to the ins and outs of. You know, the different soccer leagues and migrating up and going to the next level. You just mentioned the Cosmos. So explain, lent you out to the Cosmos. What's that mean?
Yeah, so it's basically, I wasn't getting a lot of minutes with the first team in Philadelphia. So they sent me out to a team where they thought I could play more minutes. New York Cosmos were playing in the NASL at the time. So it's kind of second tier, second division. And luckily, that Cosmos team was unbelievable. They had some of the world-class players. They won World Cups. And so it was crazy for me to get a chance to go play with these guys. That was very beneficial for me in my career at the time.
Probably, and very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
I'll throw it back to the king of soccer.
No, that's super cool, Leo, to know that you've had that experience. And then for you to turn around and be able to do the same thing for these young kids coming through, it's just an inspiring story. And Tampa Bay area loves Leo Fernandez for a lot of reasons, and that's going to be another one, that leadership piece. People love a leader, and they love somebody who cares about the younger ones. But tell us about the team this year, Leo. How do things look? What's the assessment of tonight's game? How are things going under Robbie Nielsen?
I think things are going great. We have a lot of new pieces new players, new coach. Yeah, we've had a lot of ties, but I think we're trending in the right direction. We're still unbeaten in the league. I think with new teams, it just takes time to gel and connect. In my time with the Rowdies, I feel like this is probably one of the most talented rosters that we have. We're so much competition from the strikers to the midfielders. So there's a lot of good players. It's good that I'd say we're not peaking now. We're still trying to gel, and as soon as everything comes together, I see us as a real force at the end of the season.
Yeah, we had a little debate on the show here several weeks back when the team started out with a couple of ties. And, is this the time to press the panic button? Is it time to relax? And, of course, our other partner, David Wilson, who's not with us today, who's like, take it easy, everybody. These guys are good. They're going to be fine. The fact is, you haven't lost the game yet. You played six times, haven't lost the game. That really makes a statement. Then some of those ties were late. You lost the goal late. Probably could have won, should have won. So I think it's exciting to see where the team is going.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, I think first two games we were up. We should have got those two wins. Last game against El Paso was probably our best performance of the season. We just they scored a goal from 75 yards away, which is probably the best goal I've ever seen in Al Lang. But we dominated the game. We should have had three or four goals. But yeah, I think we're trending in the right direction and just got to keep going.
I got to ask you a question. Have you ever been on a team the start of the season out that had this many ties?
I think.
Is it unusual?
It's pretty unusual. I think 2019, we were unbeaten for 11 or 12 games. I think we had like 7 wins and 4 draws or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, I would rather have a little bit more wins than draws, obviously. But it feels good to know that you're still unbeaten and teams can't beat you in this league.
Well, how Ryan and Jeff and the gang should be marketing this right now, and they're not having a problem putting butts in the seats, but as the undefeated Tampa Bay Rowdies, and people in the marketplace, they don't know, but the undefeated Tampa Bay Rowdies, yeah. Fireworks tonight, 7:30 El Wang, the undefeated Tampa Bay Rowdies. I'd go with that line.
That'd be great. And tonight's going to be a big game. It's on CBS, on national television. New Mexico's a good team. They have one of our old players, Deion Harris.
It's on national television?
Tonight's on national television, yeah. CBS.
CBS Sports?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
So it should be a good one.
I know they've been running on Channel 44 here as well, Jim.
Yes. Yes, it's on CBS Sports Network. I think if you have Paramount Plus, I think you can pick it up there. I know I do. That's where I plan on watching it tonight. But it's big. I mean, the USL is something to behold. It's a super exciting league. I think it is. I like it. I like it a lot. I'd love to see promotion and relegation, but that doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. What, Leo, do you have a position about promotion and relegation?
Of course. I mean, I'm from Brazil. I've watched European soccer. I think that's the only natural way that it should be. Teams like, for instance, the Rowdies, we should have a right to fight our way into the best division in the country. But unfortunately, it's not like that. Like you said, I don't see it changing anytime soon. But you never know. There's a lot more people smarter than me that are handling it behind the doors.
Okay, so once again, in our Soccer for Dummies segment here. Now, that's comparable to AAA baseball getting called up by the Rays. They call Durham Bulls and they call somebody up. They have that in other leagues, but they don't have it in the USL. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, USL. They don't have any. There's no
affiliation.
No affiliation. No farm system where you can bring players to the first division. You know, we're all independent teams, just independent businesses, and we buy the best players and pay them as much as we want.
So how do you, with the incredible 8 years that you've had here, how do you position yourself to potentially go to the next level? You have an agent. Who's out there lobbying and knocking on doors for you?
Yeah, so MLS is watching the USL a lot. They know it's no scrub league. They players from our team, players from other teams get bought from MLS teams all the time. Connor Antley was on our team in preseason, and he was able to DC United contacted his agent, and they bought him for an undisclosed amount. So it happens all the time.
Undisclosed amount.
Yeah, that's what they said. I'm not gonna find out how much, but it happens all the time. I think it's
sounds like a little shady deal to me. An undisclosed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they came out with it, but I didn't see anything on Twitter or anything like that.
Well, I suppose if you keep it private, if it was you, wouldn't bother you. You don't need everybody knowing your business.
I tell everyone. I don't care.
Yeah, I just scored. Yeah, there you go.
So, Leo, you've obviously got many years left in the tank, but you've, especially as somebody who has kids and a family, you tend to start thinking forward. Where is Leo headed in this game? Are you thinking of staying in the game later in your life?
Yeah, for sure. You know, last year was a tough year. I wasn't able to play at all, but I was able to do other things. I got my coaching license. I started doing some scouting for the youth national team. So I was able to just do a bunch of different things and see what I'm interested in. But one thing's for sure is that I'm going to be in the game, whether that's youth, whether that's in the pros or in the front office. Not sure yet, but for sure going to be somewhat definitely involved in soccer.
Yeah, that's great. Reputation is so important, and you have a great one. There isn't anybody I talk to that doesn't say things like, oh, he's a great guy, he'll give you the shirt off his back, things of that nature. And, I mean, you Mike can tell you, his world is all about relationships. And Mike Rickard, he knows everybody, and he's still doing his thing. Here he is with us right now, and I see you the same way, Leo. I don't see you not being a part of soccer.
I appreciate it. No, thanks for the kind words.
Well, we're gonna add something else. Gets out of bed on a Saturday morning to come down here and talk to a couple of old men on the radio.
It's my pleasure. No, I've been telling Jim I wanted to do it for a while now. It was tough because I had preseason, but it's my pleasure.
You know what though, Jim? I'm not a good influence. I didn't realize he was married, a couple of kids. I said you need to get here to Ferg's more often. I'm thinking. This is a young guy's hangout. Your wife's going to come down here and just club me. You don't need to be promoting him going down some sports bar where there's all these hotties hanging out.
She'll come with me. It'll be all right.
Exactly. That's what he should do. Bring the kids as well. We got a kids' menu. Yeah. I'll take care of you. We'll have some fun.
Exactly.
Got a dog park out back. There's all kinds of things to do.
I think that's what I've been trying to do, too. Trying to be more present. Instead of worrying about my injury and being all down is – try to enjoy every day with the family and do more things so time passes by and I'm happy.
Well, that's all that matters in life.
Exactly.
Right, Jim?
Well, no doubt. Well, Leo, just throw in this one last thing. Mike has a streaming service, and I tell you what, it's not beyond my way of thinking to say the Leo Fernandez podcast could be part of the Mike Rickard empire someday. I mean, yeah, I think you're a natural, and your insights would be very interesting. You know all the leagues, plus your interest in the youth, plus your kids coming through. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of places you can go in this game, Leo.
I appreciate it. No, that's definitely something I'm interested in.
Here's the deal. This young man's got a face for television and video. The reason we keep it at just the audios, because if you've ever seen our mugs, you'd be channel surfing real quick. I assure you that. But he's got the face and the smile and the nice and fluid that we're gonna find you a true podcast and promote the heck out of you.
I appreciate it. But you guys got to join me. I can't do it by myself.
Oh, we'll do that.
We'll be there.
Phone call. You have to have a lot of makeup to put on it. So give us an idea of a week now, because it's got to be tough for you. You know, you're so accustomed. You know, today you'd probably be at home right now, get a little butterflies in the stomach, eating your, you know, the breakfast that you custom do on game day, all the things ahead of time. But now you had to make those changes. And then you've got your week changes. So talk about it. Tell the people what you go through when you're on injury reserve and rehab.
Yeah, it's tough. I show up a little bit earlier when the guys get to training. Just doing some rehab on my calf now. I got a little bit of a calf strain. Nothing too crazy of what I dealt with last year, but it's one of those things where I've had such a tough year last year, and I want to come in this year and play every game. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. The body needs time to catch up and get into the rhythm again. But, yeah, now just trying to focus on keeping myself in control and not trying to do too much in rehab and taking it day by day. And hopefully every day that goes by, I get a little bit healthier and then be ready to go in a couple weeks.
What's your team? Oh, there you go. Just answer. What's your team saying about the time frame to get back in the competition? A couple weeks now?
Yeah, I'd say no more than two weeks, but it's tough. You know, calves are a little bit delicate, and I'm not as young as I used to be, where I would heal.
God, you're old and dirt. What are you, 28?
No, I'm 31 now.
Holy, you are an old man.
Yeah, exactly.
You passed that. You don't look like it.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got another 10 years, and you got a Brady career ahead of you.
Oh, man. It's tough.
How old's Messi?
Messi's 36 now. 36.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Messi's 36. Ronaldo's 38. So those guys are – and they're still playing really well. So we'll see.
Oh, you got another 10, 12 years in you, young man.
I mean, that's the goal. We'll see.
And Jim and I, we'll be watching the World Cup and going, remember when we had him on the show?
Maybe my son. My son will go to the World Cup.
And what's his name?
His name is Leo Jr. Yeah.
Creative.
We didn't spend too much time thinking about it.
Oh, and what's your lovely little name?
Cristiano, another boy.
And oh, another boy.
Yeah, two
boys. And your wife?
My wife Emily. Yeah.
Poor Emily. She has three guys she has to take care of.
I know. And to be fair, she's never, before meeting me, she's never watched soccer in her life.
She didn't give a damn.
She was a lacrosse player.
Really?
Yeah. So she has no idea about it. Now she does, but yeah, she loves it. I got her into it. She has no choice now. And
did you meet her at Stony Brook?
Yeah. We went to high school together.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know.
This is a true love story.
Well, I wanted to ask you before we got off, Leo. Can you first of all thank you for supporting the High School Champions League movement. We're really excited about that. And tell us give us a little bit of a taste of your high school days in New York at North Babylon.
Yeah. No. I mean, when you reached out to me, it made me think about my high school career and. Honestly, I don't think I would have gotten my scholarship to go to Stony Brook if it wasn't for my high school playing days. When I was in New York, I was playing for an academy, and I wasn't the best player on the team. I wasn't getting highly recruited, and it wasn't until I was playing high school and really starting to score a lot of goals and dominating is when I got my scholarship to Stony Brook University. So I was very grateful for high school soccer. And my senior year, we actually made it to the county finals. I don't know if you know the school in Long Island, Brentwood.
I've heard of it.
They're always ranked number one in New York, and they have like two or three draft picks every year. So, yeah, we played them in the final. We lost, but just for us to make it to the final was an unbelievable achievement, and we were very, very lucky to make it that far. But, yeah, it was just a great time.
You can remember that moment like it was yesterday. But, Leo, listen to this. You're going to be super excited about this. So, South Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, et cetera, they're starting their own Champions League next year. And the winner of their Champions League competition is coming up to play the winner of our Champions League competition on December 21st. The game is going to be at LA. We're calling it the I-75 Super Cup. And we want you to be one of our guests at that game. Bring the family.
I'll be there. No, for sure I'll be there. That sounds like just a great idea. And more competition. And it just sounds like an exciting event.
Well, what an opportunity for these young high school players to see that venue that you guys have. That's got to be the best in the league, isn't it?
It's one of them for sure. One of them for sure. I would say top three. A couple teams have just built brand new stadiums. So it looks really nice. But ours,
you got to factor in. That skyline, you got to factor in the bay behind it.
Yeah, no.
There's not a more picturesque in the country.
We have the best view. We have the best fans. I think for us in the USL, there's nothing better.
Well, one of my sponsors is Sea Dogs Brewery and Ice Pick Vodka. And the owner's a very good friend of mine. And he wasn't really much of a soccer guy, but he's got one of those condos right above LA. He's gotten into it, and he loves it, man.
He's a season ticket holder just there.
Well, I'm going to get talk to Ryan and get a couple of VIPs and take him to a game.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I remember my first year here in St. Pete, one of my teammates actually had a place over there. and we watched the Grand Prix from his apartment.
Oh, how cool was that?
It was sick, yeah.
So what time will you get to the game? When you're on the IR, do you show up the same time as the players?
No. I have to be there a couple hours before.
Gotcha. On game day?
Yeah. I usually show up around 4. So it's not too much early. It's not earlier, but I got to put in the work before I get to watch the team win the game.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that. Win the game. Yeah. The undefeated Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Exactly. No more ties.
Fireworks tonight, Jim. Taking on New Mexico. It's certain to be a W.
It's certain.
That's the Rowdy's tradition.
Ben, get on Hard Rock Bets. Take the Rowdy's tonight.
Oh, don't do
it. Yeah. We already getting him in trouble. But Jim, you got anything else for let this young man go back to his family and chill out a little before he goes down to LA?
No, we got to get him away from you. You got him gambling. You got him running out to nightclubs. He's got a kids and a family.
I'm a bad old influence.
No, Leo, we're just super grateful to have you involved with us, to have your support of the High School Champions League, and we're just super grateful that you came on the show with us. Maybe we can get you back sometime.
Yeah, anytime you want me in, I'm available. I live 15 minutes from here. It's not a bad drive at all.
Thank you, young man, very much. Let's take Matt. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. And Ben and I'll talk a little baseball, and then we'll talk a little Tampa Bay Lightning and a must-win tonight over at Amalie Arena as they take on the Florida Panthers and they're down 3-0. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Calling all gamers, we know you like going to the parks. We know you love roller coasters. We also know that you're a gamer and gamers need to game. At Orlando Esports, we got you, fam. Because OrlandoEsports.gg just opened a state-of-the-art facility on International Drive. We've got hundreds of games installed and ready to play. Hey, you can even log into your own gaming accounts if you want. We got hourly passes, daily passes. Heck, we even got weekly passes. So come on down to 6464 International Drive to Orlando Esports. It's time to get your game on.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Back to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Great conversation with Leo Fernandez. What a nice young man, huh?
Oh, yeah. Exceptionally nice. You know, it's great
humble to
see guys from the team coming out here into the community, you know, saying hey. So, great guy.
And wants to get involved and give back to the kids. Those are the kind of athletes that I absolutely love. I don't care what the sport is or what level. We talk about it all the time. You know, the prima donnas that won't give autographs to the kids.
Sure.
Things like that just infuriates me. And we need more Leo Fernandez in the world. Of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages. And, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery. And nationally televised. Explain that to me, Joe. They've been televising the Rowdies on national television? So actually, the USL and CBS have a little deal this year where they are advertising or having some of the games on
broadcasting
some of the games on CBS and CBS Sports Network and this network called Gulazo, which is specific to soccer, and the Rowdies game tonight is on there. I think the Rowdies have just one game this year. They tried to spread it out to the whole league, but it's the first game on CBS for the Rowdies since 2016. They've had some games on ESPN and all that, but this one's first one for CBS.
Oh, cool. Well, very cool. So let's talk a little more baseball. What's going on across the street, as we said in the opening, it's got people concerned, nervous. You know, it's going to be our worst year. Much too early for that. The strength in the East, you know, you take a look at the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles and the Red Sox and Toronto. They got too much talent to sit down there at the bottom with us as well. So you'll see a lot of migration in that East, I believe. And you know, being a baseball guy, streaks happen consistently in the world of baseball.
Yeah, streaks can happen at any moment. And that's the great thing about baseball is, you know, a team can turn around at the drop of a hat. And, I mean, you see it. We're a team that's, what was it, 13-14. We lose to a team that's 3-22. Anything can happen in baseball. And at any moment, a team can get hot. Once the pieces start coming together, maybe Josh Lowe's that piece that gets us onto a hot streak. But, I mean, we're early enough in the season. This isn't where we pull the ripcord and we scream and shout and say, hey, this is over. And you know me, Mike. I'm usually that person.
You're usually Nick DiNelli.
But right now I'm not necessarily worried about the team. I am concerned about our depth and, you know, a couple aspects of the game, whether it's our offense or our pitching. And I'm a little bit nervous to see how far that'll get us, but I still think we'll have a competitive year, especially within the AL East, which – in my opinion, and I would say for everybody, should consider it the best division in baseball.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it. I see that Ohtani started doing something for his pay. He started the season out slowly and played for the Dodgers.
He was getting booed.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of booing, what game was I watching the other night? It might have been the Boston.
It was the Yankees booing Aaron Judge.
Yeah, they were booing Aaron Judge, weren't they? They'll boo anybody.
Good. Yeah, they will. He deserves to be booed. He's on the path to break the all-time strikeout record. It's him and half the Yankees are on path to break this record. It's unbelievable how many times they strike out.
Is it breaking your heart?
I don't care, as long as the Rays are winning.
Exactly.
The Yankees can strike out as much as possible.
You know, last week we had Jeff Mangold, the former head trainer, strength and conditioning coach, and I talked to him off air, and he said, I don't know what's going on with Judge. He said, man, and I don't know if he doesn't like sharing the limelight with Soto, but mentally, he's the face. Soto's quickly becoming, but he's the face of the Yankees.
Yeah, he certainly is out there. I mean, you got the people dressing up as judges for him and everything, but, you know, there's something about the Yankees right now. When you go out and you purchase these big names and you bring everybody up, it doesn't always lead to the most cohesive bunch.
How can you say that, New York Mets last year? I mean, or possibly even the Dodgers this year.
No, that's true. I mean, we see with the Dodgers. I've been betting on them, and it's a crapshoot whether or not they're going to win or not. And it just drives me nuts. With a team of that good and that much talent, it shouldn't be that hard to pick winners on those guys. But did you see Aaron Boone getting tossed from the game earlier this week, Mike?
Okay, now, did you see the response from the umpire? Go ahead and explain this to people if they missed it, because it's a bizarre situation. But Aaron Boone is a prolific whiner. However, I think he's right in this case. Go ahead.
In this case, I do agree with you. He's a guy, beforehand, he was chirping the umpire. You listen to the audio. He said Aaron or Boone or whatever he referred to him as. He said,
jackass.
Probably deserves it. But he said, hey, that's your last warning. No, I better not hear anything else out of you. So he's standing there politely, quiet. You know, looking off into the distance, and there's a fan in a blue shirt sitting right above him.
Sitting by himself, by the way.
Sitting by himself, and he's chirping the heck out of that umpire. And whether or not the umpire deserved it, I couldn't tell you. I didn't watch the whole game. But he started chirping him. The umpire turns, kicks Boone out of the game, and Boone, rightfully so, is livid. He comes running out, pointing, shouting, hollering, and I don't blame the guy. I would have been pretty beat off, too.
Hey, I got breaking news again. You guys are going to get tired of this. But in Des Moines, Iowa, once again, goal number two
for
Jackson Messi Rickard his sixth grade, third game of his career.
Yeah.
He better be scoring more goals if his name's Messi.
Yeah. Just the fact he scored a goal. So congratulations, young man. Hey, we better switch gears. You and I got about 15 towards the end of the show. Let's talk to our expert over it. Well, I hope he's got an expert. I hope he's got some answers. He's Wyatt Ross. He joins us each and every week to talk a little Tampa Bay Lightning. But right now, you know, Joe Geiger was over at that game the other night. It's a little dismal in Amalie.
It's been rough, that's for sure. I might as well just hop right into this. But so a little bit of a recap in case anybody missed what's been going on with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Playoffs started last Saturday. Their first game was Sunday. They started out on the road. They are a wild card team, so they do not have home ice advantage. They started out against their state rivals, the Florida Panthers. First game, they took the 3-2 loss. It was a rough game for the Bolts, but I would argue it was an even rougher game for the officiating there. I try not to blame it on the refs ever, but there was definitely some missed calls and some calls a little bit questionable in both of the away games. The goals were scored by Reinhart, Hagel, Verhaeghe, ex-Lightning Verhaeghe, Tkachuk, and then Stamkos scored one on the power play with about 8 seconds left. Not really much to do there. Took the first game, but that wasn't too big of a deal. 1-0. The whole rule, in case anybody doesn't know, the quote-unquote rule of playoff hockey is you split away games and you win your two homes. So we just had to win our game that happened on Tuesday against Florida to split the away games. It was a great game for the Lightning, but an even better game for Sergei Bobrovsky, the Florida Panthers goaltender. I'm sure if you've been on social media, you've seen it was a tied game, 2-2, a little bit of time left in the third. Matt Dumba, a trade deadline acquisition, wide open net. Sergei Bobrovsky had his back to him, and he just swung his glove out and made the game-saving save. The goals scored were by Sam Bennett and Vladdy Tarasenko. Made it 2-0 Panthers. Both battled back. Point and Stammer both scored. But eventually, after Dumba was robbed with that rebound, went to overtime, and we lost the overtime loss. So the Panthers took the 2-0 series lead. Not what we wanted, but we were headed back home, onto home ice, hopefully for a little bit better of a result. And we did not get the result. That was Thursday's game 2 days ago, 5-3 loss against Florida. The Bolts head at home in a practically must-win game, and they did not get the win. They take the 3-0 series loss, and they now need to win 4 games in a row to get past to the second round against their state rivals. But what are you guys thinking? Do you think we can pull it off?
First of all, has it ever happened?
It has happened 4 times in NHL history. Teams have come back from being down 3-0. But the biggest thing that they always say and that I really want them to do is just take it 1 game at a time. Don't look at the big picture. Look at the game in front of you. You got 1 game against your state rival. Win that one.
Well, the reality is that they haven't played that badly. They've been in every game. It's not like they're, you know, that you would think teams like some of these NBA scores have been one-sided, lopsided, and they got 3-0 deficits to overcome. They're never going to overcome them. But the Lightning have been there and made mistakes, and if they could correct them, like you said, 1 game at a time, that potential does exist. But,
if we're excluding empty net goals, and for those who don't know what that is, the team is able to pull their goalie from their net to put out an extra skater to make it a 6-on-5. If we're excluding when Tkachuk scored that goal at home in the Amalie Arena, every single game has been a one-goal game that the Bolts have battled to the end. One of them even went to overtime because of some great goaltending by Sergei Bobrovsky. They get a couple more lucky bounces. They start playing their game. They keep on trying to play the Panthers game, a physical, hard-knock, fighting game. But if they play their game, if Kucherov steps back up, he starts making those passes, we played like the skilled team that we are, we can win 4 in a row easily against this team.
Did you hear that? You can't tell that he's a fan. Easily. There's no easily. There's no easily when you're playing their in-state rival, the Florida Panthers. And the Panthers are certainly solid this year as well.
They are a really good team, but I really think that the Lightning, if we look back to after the trade deadline when they went on that run, when they won about 9 games in a row, they weren't playing this tough, fighting, heavy-hitting hockey. They were playing skilled hockey, moving the puck around in the offensive zone, skating fast around defenders instead of engaging in contact, not taking stupid penalties. Everyone says playoff hockey is different, but the teams who try to adapt too hard to the playoff hockey get bounced out in the first round. Obviously, it's not working right now. We need to start playing our game and not the Panthers' game if we want to win the series.
Hey, as you look at the different series across the country right now, and a lot of prognosticators have Dallas winning the cup. And any surprises out there as you look at it? Because last weekend it was all home favorites, won 6-0, and there weren't any surprises. During the course of the week, things have changed a little bit. Actually, it was the NBA, eight favorites, home wins, 8-0, and then hockey was 6-0, which was very, very unusual. I think it was the first time that's ever happened in playoffs, by the way.
Anything unusual? So for me, there have not been any surprises for me except for the Lightning. I did, if anyone participates in the bracket challenge, so far every team that I've picked to move on to the next round besides the Lightning is winning their series. So just a little bit of a flex right there for you. But other than that, I think that the Vegas and Dallas series is being, that's a really tough one. I know I've seen a lot of comparisons to Tampa Bay versus Florida and Dallas versus Vegas both feel like now, with just the style of hockey being played and how good the two teams are playing each other. It's a real shame that two great teams on each side have to match up in the first round. But Dallas is a similar situation to what Tampa is. They're only down 2-0 right now, so they have a little bit better of a situation. But they're just as good as a team. They have just as good as skilled players, and they're just trying to play a brand of hockey that's not their own right now against Vegas.
Hey, I know you're only 15 years old, but we're probably going to have you providing Ben as we get close to the Stanley Cup, providing Ben with tips for his action over there at Hard Rock. I don't know if you'll lose your amateur status, though, by giving us some tips.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll definitely need it. I know that.
There's your handicapper, pal.
There we go. My insight.
What is it? What did you say it was, 140? What are the odds?
Oh, yeah. They have the odds boosted right now on the Hard Rock app to 100 plus 140. It was plus 105. So they got it boosted right now. $10 bet pays out $24. So make sure that you buy into the Lightning.
He's 15.
Well, I'm saying to our listeners.
Oh, it's okay. 15. I could tell my dad. Sorry.
I'm going to get in trouble for trying to convince Leo Fernandez, who just left us, family man, to come down here and party at Ferg's because he's a great-looking young man. He's a celebrity, and I thought, you know, the gals, and then I see the wedding ring, and then he starts telling me about his family. And now we're trying to get a 15-year-old to start helping us with action over at the Hard Rock.
You better watch yourself, huh?
Yeah, positive perspective from us. All right, young man, have a great weekend. When hockey winds down, we'll start talking Rays with you. You got to line up some great interviews for us this year with the Rays. Use your leverage over there.
Hopefully it'll give them a little luck. They're in a tough series right now. They're in a tough conference.
All right, my man. Have a great weekend. Come back.
Thank you.
In the house, we've got the Hollins Royals, and then we're going to have UCW, Universal Wrestling, going to be down here and talk about the event on the 9th. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.